Well, today we're at a little crossroads where we're ending one subject and we're getting ready to start talking about another subject. So we're glad that you're with us and stay tuned. It's going to be, if nothing else, it's going to be interesting. Well, welcome to All Things Apostolic here on March the 24th. We're glad that you're with us. This is a great day. This is Monday, first day of the week, the day a lot of people bemoan, but a day that I think most of us are, if you enjoy what you're doing, you're eager to get on it, get at it. And so that's me. I'm happy to just be alive and be a child of God and have the Holy Ghost in my heart. And know that it's real, to be with you here. And thank you for joining us. We're glad that you joined us today. Well, last week we concluded a little talk about music. I always smile at responses. I don't usually pay much attention, but I should, I guess, because people sometimes have valid questions or suggestions. And of course, you call that comments. People are making comments from which we get the word commentary. So a commentary is somebody that's commenting about something objectively from outside of the subject is usually what commentary is. And it's popular and it's profitable. You've got all of these news companies that are talking about what's happening. Those people that are in the news are not making them happen. They are talking about what others are doing. So it's a little bit like the Monday morning quarterback or somebody sitting in the stands watching a game and they say, well, this is what they ought to do, or this is what they should do. Of course, when you're down there, it's a little bit different. And so, but I thank you that you're with us. I don't care. Whatever you say is fine. And we love the human race. This is why we're against abortion, because we love the human race. And this is why we're against infanticide, because we love the human race. And this is why we are against euthanasia, because we love the human race. So it doesn't matter what you are, red, yellow, black, or white, or even what your attitude may be. We're for the human race, because that is God's posture, and that is nature's posture on the earth. That the primary thing is the human race, which then has a responsibility to take care of the earth and to take care of everything else that has life or that's even organic, to manage it. So anyway, with all of that said, we are 3 months into 25% of this year is gone at the end of this week. As you know, if you listen, I'm just always shocked at how fast the time passes, and it seems like how little I get done, but maybe it seems that way to everybody. But then when you look back and you say, well, this was accomplished and that was accomplished, things that have substance and that are worth something, they are something that gives fulfillment and something that has purpose. So anyway, thank you that were helped by the little music deal. That's great. If you weren't helped, you know, big deal. You know, you got a right to listen, and we're happy that you're with us, and we hope we can be helpful in some way in the future. And I had a great deal of enjoyment reading some of the responses that came back. I actually laughed out loud. And like I was saying, commentary is a different thing. There's primary utterance in language. There's primary utterance. And then there's commentary on primary utterance. And so This is why there are some words that people count holy and they won't say, like the Jews won't say the name of God or wouldn't write the name of God. Why? It wasn't because they were afraid to do so of the world. It's because they knew that once language is cast into the open market of world conversation, it can be bagged up with anything. It can be stacked on the table at the flea market with, you can have pornography right here and you can have the word right here. You can have chicken livers here in a bag that people can buy, and you can have the precious holy gospel right here, and all of it can be mixed together any way that people want to. So anything can be said. And so people are talking all the time, talk. And so for language, though, to have any meaning, it has to be framed. Language comes, honest language, language that that keeps language having something worthy to respect, has to be framed. And the frame is honesty, and the frame is integrity. And so when that frame is gone, it all just piles up out in the flea market. So so it's interesting. And this is what you and I, all of us, put up with every day. And you just wonder sometimes, even people that are reading the news, you read something here that is really sacred, and then you read all this other stuff that's jumbled in with it. So I don't know. What does that do to the human brain? I don't know. You say, well, that's the way it's been forever. No. Just until recent times, people didn't even know what was going on 50 miles away, 100 miles away oftentimes. And people didn't have ways to communicate like we have today. So this is a different day. So all we're trying to do is utilize the methodologies available to us today to communicate. And hopefully communicate something that has substance. Whether you agree or disagree, at least it's something that's worth pondering. So anyway, so church is going on. You know, it's just wonderful to see what God is doing. There is a revival in the world. There is a revival, and it is a Pentecostal revival. Pentecostalism is the fastest growing social phenomena, not just religious phenomena, fastest growing social phenomena in the world, and has been for decades. It's not in the headlines of the paper because religious things usually aren't. It has been in the headlines a few times. In fact, here, some years ago, they wrote an article and said, New York City is a Pentecostal city when you're talking about religion, because there are thousands of little Pentecostal churches on every corner. And then there's really, really huge Pentecostal churches. So why would that not change the whole city? Well, you know, I would propose, this is just a thought, you're welcome to comment on it, you may have some good ideas about it, but I would propose that for a church or a group of churches, a people of God in a particular city, to become dominant spiritually in that city does not mean that everybody gets saved in the city. Nor does it necessarily mean that everybody in the city becomes more moral. It does mean that that particular group of people has spiritual dominance in the spirit world. And where you find people who are hungry for God, then those people, they find their way to this people, because these people are the ones where the open doors, where the light is shining in at. So all of us that are Christian, we certainly ought to want to have spiritual dominance over the things that are deleterious, the things that are deleterious or or destructive, the things that are destructive to the human race. Amen. So we want to talk about some new things here. We won't get started on them right now, but we want to talk about, you know, there is a conflict. There's a centuries-old conflict, maybe as old as the church, conflict between different streams. It's not just denominations, but again, between different streams of Christianity historically. And in those different streams, there are strong, strong belief systems that are, some of them are anchored in centuries-old teachers that have become revered over time and respected. And so you have all of these, and anytime that you begin to write anything doctrinally, anything that has to do with doctrine or theologically with biblical theology, then there's these stream, existent streams, and when you propose something, it runs counter or it crosses one of those streams. And so all of that has to be taken into consideration. Is the one crossing it right, or is the, in this case I'm thinking, or is the historical position right? And this is one of the things that any teaching has to realize, that at some point you're going to touch a nerve of one of these streams if you're teaching something that's different. Well, so you've got streams of what we would call old line denominal church theology. You've got Catholic theology. You've got evangelical theology. And the new kid on the block in terms of articulating theological things in books is Pentecostalism. It is the fastest growing, which means that has to be taken into consideration, that anybody whose theology is not articulated as strongly as possible has the possibility of being misunderstood or even getting off track. So so we try to work on those things. You know, we're not perfect, but we're working on it, and we want to see more of this happen. So anyway, all that to say, in the soon coming future, we want to work on some of this. One of the examples is the subject of eschatology, the end of things, the eschaton, the end of the world, the end of the age. And when you get into that, you find out that many of these things that I'm talking about right now take place where there is a crossing of lines that determines one's belief on the end time based upon the fact that there's different streams in history that have their opinion, and all those streams keep running until they come to the consequence of those doctrines. And so all of that has to be ferreted out and determined. So we're working on an eschatology course right now, and this is one of the things that made me think about this. And it may be applied to other things, like we were talking about really kind of a social thing when we was talking about music, but there may be some application of this same truth there as there is on these other things. So anyway, we want you to stay with us. We're going to talk about some of these streams and some of the differences that have come. And through history, there's different names that have been attached to these things. There is predestination doctrine, and then there's Arminianism, which sounds like it came from Armenia, but it really didn't. It's taken off of a man's name who believed in free will. And whereas predestined believed that being as God is sovereign, that man, really, it's already predetermined before he's ever born, as it'd be predetermined 50 million years ago or whatever, that you would be saved or lost. So then over here is Arminianism, which says no, and there are leading people in the history, in historic Christianity, on both sides of this thing, and they all are equally dogmatic that they're right. Boom. And so, but you say, well, why don't we just embrace all of it? Well, because they're contradictory to one another. You can't just embrace things that are blatantly contradictory. You have to work through them. So we want to talk about them a little bit. And so we want you to stay with us. So I don't know how quick we will begin that, but hopefully next week we can begin it. It depends on how many things we have on our plate at the time. And so God bless you. I'm glad you're with us today. Stay with us. We're going to cover some really important things.